Beach's wife kicked him out before he pled guilty to 2 counts of manslaughter. Quite naturally, she was angrier over the naked woman than the dead hikers. The kids sided with her, because she had the money, and because he'd screwed up so badly. It was an easy decision on their part. The divorce was final a week after he arrived at Trumbull. His youngest had been to see him twice in 3 years, 1 month, and 1 week. Both visits were on the sly, lest the mother find out about them. She had prohibited the kids from going to Trumbull. Then he got sued. 2 wrongful death cases brought by the families, with no friends willing to step forward. He tried to defend himself from prison, but there wasn't much to defend. A judgment of $5 million had been entered against him by the trial court. He appealed from Trumbull, lost from Trumbull, and appealed again. In the chair beside him, next to his cigarettes, was an envelope brought earlier by Trevor, the lawyer. The court had rejected his final appeal. The judgment was now written in stone. Didn't really matter because he'd also filed for bankruptcy. He typed the papers himself in the law library and filed them with a pauper's oath, sent them to the same courthouse in Texas where he was once a god. Convicted, divorced, disbarred, imprisoned, sued, bankrupt. Most of the losers at Trumbull handled their time because their falls had been so short. Most were repeat offenders who'd blown third and fourth chances. Most liked the damn place because it was better than any other prison they'd visited. But Beach had lost so much, had fallen so far. Just 4 years ago, he'd had a wife with millions and 3 kids who loved him and a big home in a small town. He was a federal judge, appointed by the president for life, making $140,000 a year, which was a lot less than her oil royalties, but still not a bad salary. He got himself called to Washington twice a year for meetings at Justice. Beach had been important. An old lawyer friend had been to see him twice, on his way to Miami where he had kids, and he stayed long enough to deliver the gossip. Most of it was worthless, but there was a strong rumor that the ex-Mrs. Beach was now seeing someone else. With a few $1 million and slender hips, it was only a matter of time. Another ad, Lake before it's too late again. This one began with a grainy video of men with guns slithering through the desert, dodging and shooting and undergoing some type of training. Then the sinister face of a terrorist. Dark eyes and hair and features, obviously some manner of Islamic radical. And he said in Arabic with English subtitles, "We will kill Americans wherever we find them. We will die in our holy war against the great Satan." And after that, quick videos of burning buildings, embassy bombings, a busload of tourists, the remains of a jetliner scattered through a pasture. A handsome face appeared, Mr. Aaron Lake himself. He looked directly at Hatley Beach and said, "I'm Aaron Lake and you probably don't know me. I'm running for president because I'm scared. Scared of China and Eastern Europe and the Middle East. Scared of a dangerous world. Scared of what's happened to our military. Last year, the federal government had a huge surplus, yet spent less on defense than we did 15 years ago. We're complacent because our economy is strong, but the world today is far more dangerous than we realize. Our enemies are legion, and we cannot protect ourselves. If elected, I will double defense spending during my term of office." No smiles, no warmth. Just plain talk from a man who meant what he said. A voiceover said, "Lake, before it's too late." Not bad, thought Beach. He lit another cigarette, his last of the night, and stared at the envelope on the empty chair. $5 million lodged against him by the 2 families. He'd pay the money if he could. Never saw the kids, not before he killed them. The paper the next day had their happy photos, a boy and a girl. Just college kids, enjoying the summer. He missed the bourbon.